Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
If you are a regular listener to the Beacon Broadcast, then you know that we are involved in a study of New Testament giving. This is sometimes a difficult subject. There's a lot of confusion about it. There are those who tell us that there is no reason to think that the New Testament teaches the Christians ought to tithe, for example, that is Old Testament giving as opposed to New Testament giving. That the Old Testament giving was legalistic giving based upon the tithe, and that New Testament giving is freedom based upon grace. Well, there's certainly a measure of truth in that. I can't say that statement is entirely false. And yet I can also say, from my own study of God's Word, that it does not take everything fully into account. I read an article recently on this very subject that took the very strong position that the kind of giving that was required in the Old Testament is totally foreign to the New Testament. And this article went on to suggest that New Testament giving really isn't a requirement at all. In other words, there's no requirement to give anything. It's good if you do, but you should always take care of all your own obligations first, make sure that your bills are paid and everything's taken care of. And then if there's enough left over to give something, well, of course you ought to give. No. That is certainly a misunderstanding. And I would even go farther and say that it is a misrepresentation of what I find in the New Testament in regard to giving. But let's not talk about what we declare to be there. Let's take a look at what is actually there. And so that is why we have our Bibles open to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we will continue the study of New Testament grace giving as penned by none other than the Apostle Paul in an inspired section of God's Holy Word. Thank you for joining us today on this Thursday, May 18, and thanks for your gifts that keep us teaching God's Word on the station. Well, let me summarize what we have looked at so far. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 opens by Paul setting before the Corinthian church a notable example of New Testament giving. And he refers to the churches of Macedonia, who had responded in an incredibly sacrificial and generous way to the project offering which Paul was taking up for the persecuted saints in Jerusalem. That was a project that had been introduced more than a year prior and was an ongoing project. All of the churches were to be collecting money over a period of time in order to have the final amount ready when the time came, when the project came to a close and the actual transfer of the funds was scheduled to take place. And so, that is clearly what is referred to in 1 Corinthians 16. I've gone back to that several times, and many of you are familiar with that text, where Paul makes reference to this collection in his first Corinthian epistle. Now, of course, we are studying what he has to say about it in his second Corinthian epistle. But in the first one, he says in 1 Corinthians 16:1, now concerning the collection for the saints, this is not the first time it's been mentioned to them. The wording of this passage that I'm quoting makes it clear that he is referring to something that they already know about. But now, I'm turning my attention from other matters. He's just had an extensive section in chapter 15 on the doctrine of the resurrection. But now I turn from that. Now I turn to the collection for the saints. As I gave orders to the churches of Galatia, so also do you. On the first day of the week, let every one of you lay aside, or lay beside him in store. Now I've lost my exact wording of that section, so I better go back to it and give it to you exactly so that I do not misquote it. So here we go again. 1 Corinthians 16:1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. I stop right there. As I have given orders to the churches of Galatia. Whoa, that's a pretty strong word for New Testament giving if it's entirely optional. As I have given orders, that's a pretty strong word. And then he goes on to say, as I've given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. Must? Does that sound like it's entirely optional? And keep in mind that what we're talking about here is a project offering beyond their regular offerings to the support of their local church. But here's what he tells them now in regard to this project offering. Verse 2, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. Now, there is a little bit of ambiguity, I guess you'd say, in verse 2 about where they are to be collecting their offering. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. So the question is, in regard to this project offering, are they supposed to be putting some money aside at home, little by little by little, adding it up over a period of time, or are they to be bringing it to the church and a fund is being collected at the church week by week by week until the goal has been met for the church? I'm not going to answer that question now. That's another question for another day. But what I will point out to you is what is obvious, not the part that is questionable and subject to debate. But let's talk about what is obvious and not subject to debate. And I've already pointed out the strong requirement type language that Paul is using for this project offering. But laying that aside, let's also note that this was something they were to be involved with, all of them, week by week by week by week. Isn't that what he says? On the first day of the week, let each one of you. There are several things here that make it sound like Paul fully expected, we might even be permitted to use the word required, but fully expected every member of the Corinthian church to be involved in this, from the poorest to the richest, everybody, not just the richest, not just the wealthy, not just the people who had a surplus, not just the people who took care of all their own obligations first, and then if they had anything left over, it would be a nice thing for them to get involved in this giving. Nah, that's not the language. That's not what I'm looking at with my two eyes as I'm looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Paul is expecting every member of the church, from the poorest slave to the wealthiest business owner, to do something, and to do something every week. That is, on the day of worship. On the first day of the week. That's the day when Christians gather to worship. Let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. This was an ongoing project that they were supposed to be putting money into a fund, and the fund should be growing week by week by week by week as everyone was adding something to the total week by week by week by week until finally it was completed, and then it would be communicated to the saints at Jerusalem. That's the collection that Paul is talking about. And now when we come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, what becomes notable, and we haven't gotten to the section that deals with this yet, but I'll go ahead and mention it now. What becomes notable is that the members of the Corinthian church had been slack, and apparently they had not all been giving toward this collection week by week by week by week. They were not doing this regularly, systematically, and weekly like they were instructed to do. Yes, instructed to do. I keep going back to this because this grace giving does not mean optional giving. That's not what grace means. We talked about this a broadcast or two ago. What does grace mean? And grace is very much in view. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded to the riches of their liberality. This is grace giving. They, in spite of incredible impediments, they gave joyfully, sacrificially, generously. How? How is that possible? The grace of God enabled them to do it. That's grace giving. God's grace enabling God's people to give. And to give generously. And to give more than would seem possible for them to give. That's New Testament grace giving. Where do we get this idea that New Testament grace giving is just very required and not a whole lot as it expected, because after all, we're under grace. No. That's not what I'm looking at here. Is that what you're seeing? It's not what I'm looking at. And so, we're reviewing still, and I'm getting to the end of the time in this broadcast and haven't gotten past the opening review. But Paul lays before the Corinthian church in the opening verses of chapter 8 the example of other churches. And he's holding that up. I want you to know what they have done. I want you to be aware of this example. Because I'm comparing your giving to theirs. I'm comparing your commitment to theirs. I'm committing your dedication to this gift and to the whole idea of giving to the Lord and demonstrating your love by so doing. I'm comparing your performance to theirs. Is that carnal? Is that unsuitable? Is that unspiritual to be doing it that way? Well, if it is, you'll have to take up your objection with the Apostle Paul. I'm not setting this forth. I'm just explaining to you what has been set forth. What Paul did and what is recorded, what Paul did, which clearly has the approval and sanction of the Holy Spirit of God, who included what Paul did in scriptures for our edification. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and all scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, and this is one of those areas of instruction in righteousness, how Christians are to give and how we are to grow and develop in the grace of giving. And that's what we find, and I have run short on time, so come back again, Lord willing, tomorrow, and we will continue. Until then, Greg Martin saying, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.